Let us open our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter, and read the entire chapter as we continue on our series in the life and ministry of Moses. The people of Israel have been delivered out of the house of bondage. The Lord opened wonderfully a way through the Red Sea to bring them to the other side. They have come to Marah, where the water was bitter, but it was sweetened, and the last thing we're told of them is that they were at Elim there, and encamped in that place of rest and refreshment. Now we read about the people of Israel murmuring for bread. Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, when ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah. Thus far the reading of God's word. Will cover much of this chapter. I direct your attention to verse 4, the first part. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Dear congregation, you don't expect to find bread in the wilderness. After all, the wilderness is a barren place, a dangerous place, a risky place to be even, a fearful place. How can you survive in a wilderness? How can you make it through the wilderness even by yourself, never mind if you have about 2 million people traveling with you? You don't expect to find bread in the wilderness. That's why Israel asked in the words of Psalm 78, verse 19, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? But he shows in Exodus 16 and on many pages in the Bible that he does give bread to his people as they pass through this wilderness to the promised land. That's why you can write over the sermon, Bread in the Wilderness. Bread in the wilderness. We'll see, first of all, it's graciously promised. Secondly, it's generously provided. And thirdly, it's gloriously prescribed. Bread in the wilderness. Firstly, graciously promised. Secondly, generously provided, and thirdly, gloriously prescribed. The people of Israel are in the wilderness between the land of bondage and the land of promise. More particularly, they are between Elam, the place of rest and refreshment, and Sinai, the place where the Lord will give his law. But it's through the wilderness they must travel, taking the long way. Yes, the Lord does not lead them by the shortest route to Canaan. He leads them the long way to Canaan. Why? Maybe it is simply to teach the truth that ordinarily the Lord does not save his people then take them to heaven in one day. He has to teach his people in this life and sanctify His people in the wilderness. He has to give them more knowledge of themselves to humble them, and more knowledge of Himself to encourage them. So at the Lord's leading, when we come to Exodus 16, the people of Israel are set on the move again, leaving Elim, the place of rest and refreshment, to go back into the wilderness. But where will they get food and water? Their supplies are almost gone. And boys and girls, there are no supermarkets in the wilderness. What will they do? What will they eat? What do we do when our supplies run low and we're in need? Verse 2 shows us Israel murmuring and complaining. And that in the face of all the goodness and kindness He has shown. I mean, God showed His kindness at so many points in the last few weeks and months during the plagues of Egypt. And then the deliverance out of Egypt, bringing them through the Red Sea, sweetening the water at Marah and giving them rest and refreshment at Elim. He has shown His goodness to them, His kindness to them. And they murmured still. And how much we are still like them. God shows His goodness and His kindness to us too. But in spite of all His goodness and His kindness, we murmur again and again. It's what Israel does here. And when we hear the murmuring in the opening verses, it's not just a few disgruntled people. Their murmuring has turned into an open rebellion. They're about to revolt. You see, it's not just a few that are complaining or 10% of the camp, but everyone. Maybe it began with a few. It only takes one to start complaining. And that spirit can spread very quickly like wildfire. That's why it says in verse 2, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. They're all murmuring, old and young, men and women, children and parents. They're all complaining. They're all speaking against Moses and Aaron. And they basically have three questions. Significant questions. First, they question the purpose of living. They question the purpose of living. They wish that they had had their funerals in Egypt, that God had killed them in Egypt, verse 3. And things were better in Egypt after all. There was plenty there. But was it so much better in Egypt? Really? But yes, they questioned the purpose of living. Secondly, they questioned the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Also in verse 3, you've brought us into the wilderness. You've brought us here with evil intent to commit genocide. Brought us here so that we'll die of hunger. And thirdly, they're really questioning the providence of God. God has brought us into the wilderness, but we won't make it through the wilderness. And that's how Israel complains, and how easy it is to murmur and complain. There are plenty of things that don't go the way we had hoped. And discontentment can make the past seem better than it was. But we're struggling with the way of the Lord in our lives and in those desperate places where we come, and in those desperate times where we find ourselves. It's so easy to doubt the goodness of God and to grumble and complain, that we need to take to heart the words of Paul in Ephesians 4 verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away from you. After all, the root of bitterness isn't good. Hebrews 12, verse 15. And it impacts so many. What reason we have to say with Job in Job 40, verse 4, "Behold, I am vile. I will lay my hand upon my mouth." You see, murmuring is no small sin, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10. It will be the reason why so many perish in the wilderness. And what will the Lord do? How will the Lord respond? Well, let's look at how he responds. For one thing, he hears. Verse 7, "The Lord heareth your murmurings." Verse 8, "The Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him." Verse 9b, "He hath heard your murmurings." Verse 12, "I have heard the murmurings." He's not deaf to the words we speak. He's not deaf to the words we speak which dishonor him. And sometimes, young people, when we mutter something under our breath and others don't hear us, God still hears us. Shall we not turn our sinful grumbling into confession of sin? Shall we not turn our murmuring words into praying words? Because he hears. Secondly, he meets. He comes to meet with Israel. Verse 9, "Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord." He's not just the God who hears. He's not just the God who will provide for them. He's the God who's going to meet with them. What do murmuring people need? What do complaining people need? Do they need a word of rebuke? Do they need an angry rebuke? Oh, if we are on the wrong path, then we need to be corrected, don't we? And we may need to be rebuked, but we need more than that. The Lord shows us this. We need love. We need a visit from the Lord. You see, we need more than his provisions. We need more than his rebukes. We need more than his gifts. We need the Lord himself. That's what Mary Magdalene needed in her distress. It was what the travelers on the way to Emmaus needed, a visit from the Lord in their confusion and riddles and pain. Don't we need such a visit too? And today he reminds us that he is the God who hears us and that he's the God who meets us. And thirdly, he's the God who promises. He promises to give them provisions. He promises bread. Verse 4, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." They deserve the opposite. Matthew Henry says something like that in his commentary, that the Lord had every right to rain upon them fire and brimstone like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19, verse 24. But instead, he promises to rain his goodness upon them. He will give them bread. No, they didn't ask for bread. They didn't even call upon the Lord for bread. They didn't pray for bread. But here he shows, as Isaiah 65 verse 24 says, "Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." He will give them what they need. He promises them bread. He will supply his people with bread. He will give them physical provisions for their wilderness journey. Psalm 136 verse 24, isn't that what he does for all of us? He giveth food to all flesh. He doesn't owe that to us. But he gives it to us. Shall we remember that, boys and girls, that the food on your table is a gift from God? But he not only gives physical provisions, he will give his people spiritual provisions for their wilderness. For Jesus will say that this gift of bread, this manna which the Lord provided in the wilderness, it pointed to him. I am the bread which has come down from heaven. He promises to feed us with Christ, the living bread, John 6, verse 35. He not only hears, he not only meets, he also promises. And before Israel receives the bread on the floor of the wilderness, Israel may receive the promise of bread. And it says that if our souls are famished, he promises to supply our famished soul. So that may be your need today. You're hungry. Maybe you're running on empty. Maybe you feel your spiritual supplies have all but run out. You're running on fumes, maybe. Well, here's his promise. I will rain bread from heaven for you. And sometimes before he nourishes your soul with spiritual food, he gives the promise of that food. And it's meant to make us hope in his promise and make us busy with his promises and plead his promises. That, first of all, this bread in the wilderness is promised graciously. Secondly, it's provided generously. It's provided generously. You know, when the Lord brings us into hopeless situations, as he is doing with us now, it's with the intent that we would turn to him. That we would not expect outcome from creatures. What can Moses and Aaron do for the people of Israel? Moses and Aaron could not fabricate loaves for the people, but in our hopeless situations, let's not, while we may turn to creatures for some help here and there, let's not hope in creatures, but let us hope in the Creator, for whom nothing is too hard to do. Genesis 18, verse 14. It's what Israel experienced. He has promised that they would receive bread, and in the morning there it was, boys and girls. There it was. It came mysteriously with the dew in the morning. And when the dew had disappeared, there was this coriander seed, honey-tasting manna. The people of Israel didn't know what it was. All around the Hebrew camp was this Hebrew word repeated, manna. That means, what is it? The answer Moses gives is, verse 15, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. It's provided generously. Let me say several things about this gift of bread, about this provision of bread. For one thing, it's a surprising gift. It's a surprising gift. I mean, there are some things that are just unexpected, even though the Lord has promised them. That's how it is here. I mean, they're in the wilderness. You don't expect to find bread in the wilderness. Bread sufficient for 2 million people. I mean, nothing was planted in the ground. No seeds were sown in the ground so that a crop could grow from the earth. It didn't come from the earth. It came from heaven in a remarkable way, in an unseen way, with the dew of the morning. It's a surprising provision. Because of where it came, how it came, and to whom it came. It came in the wilderness. It came from above. And it came to sinners. Psalm 78, verse 25 calls this bread of heaven angels' food. The bread of angels. And that angels might eat of this bread, we understand. But the bread of angels becomes the bread for sinners and lawbreakers and complainers. Has that ever humbled you? The physical provisions that God gives you on your table, even when you've unthinkingly received it, but also the spiritual provisions in Christ has that never humbled you. After all, we've made this world a wilderness by our sin in Adam, by our deep fall in Adam. And we wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry and in a world and we're hungry. And the Lord says, I know you're hungry. I will feed you. I know what kind of wilderness this world is. I've lived in it. But I have bread for your hungry soul. It's a surprising gift. Secondly, it's a divine gift. Moses points us to the Lord. He's the giver of this bread. Verse 15b, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Well, that explains it, doesn't it? In the face of all our questions, how can a table be furnished in the wilderness? No human being can do that, but God can do that. He can provide for His people as they wander through this wilderness. Yes, the Lord gives it. The Lord rains it down. And you'll notice in verse 15 that His name is written in capital letters, pointing to His covenant name. Pointing to His faithfulness and loyalty that says that He has not brought them into the wilderness to leave them. He has not brought them into the wilderness just to abandon them, but to care for them because He's the Lord. This bread is a sovereign gift. It's a divine gift. It's God-given bread. And isn't that what the Lord Jesus says about the true bread from heaven? John 6, verse 32, My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. If your soul is famished, you need to turn to His Father. He's the one who gave bread in the Old Testament. He's the one who gave the bread of life, the Lord Jesus, in the fullness of time. He gives this bread of life to hungry souls still today. What an encouragement it is for those who have been illuminated by the Holy Spirit to their hopeless plight, who see that they deserve to perish, but the Father gives this bread. I remember when Jesus was teaching His disciples about prayer in Luke chapter 11, then He says, If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Shall we not ask Him, Lord, give us this bread? He gives bread. He rains bread on those who deserve death, but plead for life. This gift is a surprising gift. It's a divine gift. Thirdly, this bread is a free gift. I mean, boys and girls, when your mom or dad go to the store, they have to make a payment in exchange for the bread and all the supplies they take home. But Israel doesn't have to pay for this bread. It was free. The bread that the Lord gives us in the gospel is free. We come without money and without price. That's how it is in the gospel. That's how it is in the gospel feast. You may receive the bread from heaven for free. Oh, it came at a great cost for the Lord Jesus. That's true. Cost Him His life. But for you and me, we may receive this bread from heaven freely, by faith. Fourthly, this bread is available bread. It's available bread. It's there for the taking. It's there for the eating. Yes, that meant that you could not just stay standing upright. I mean, young people, the bread that the Lord gave the people of Israel did not grow on trees. It came to the ground. You need to stoop down in order to gather it. You have to go on your hands and knees to gather it. It's what Ruth did In the field of Boaz, remember, there were grains there to be gathered. Available grains even for the poor of the land and the stranger. But you had to go out and gather it. And here Israel too, it did not have to go far. It was right outside of their tents. Of course, if someone was lazy, that was a problem. If someone was proud, unwilling to stoop, that was a problem. If someone didn't care and stepped on the manna, that was a problem. But it's there, it's available, it's for the taking, it's for the eating. Yes, you see, the bread that we need is available, not for us just simply to study it and try and learn a few things about it so that we can describe it. It's not enough to study the manna, to describe the manna, to even taste it. We must eat it. We must swallow it, else we will not be strengthened by that food. We must feed, friends, on the Christ available as he comes to us in the gospel. We must feed on him as empty and lost sinners. We must feed on his word. We must take him up in our hearts and minds. We must feed on his person. We must feed on his work. We must feed on his death. We must feed on his resurrection. That's how Christ comes into our soul. Isn't that how we must feed on Christ? To go on in the Christian life. Dear child of God. Isn't that why the Lord Jesus also instituted a supper and said, "Take, eat, remember and believe that my body was so broken for a full pardon of all your sin." Will you leave your tent closed today and pass him by again? When he's available, it's a generous provision. It's generously provided. There's no need to go hungry with Christ coming down as the bread of life. There's no need to starve. In some places, it's not surprising to hear of people starving to death. In Ethiopia, maybe, or in the Horn of Africa, where there is so much drought and famine, it's sad, but it's not surprising. But you don't expect to hear that on the news in North America, to hear news of people starving to death. Because there's more food in North America than we know what to do with. No one needs to go hungry with this manna around the camp of Israel. No one needs to go hungry today as the Lord comes with a heavenly bread in the gospel. He comes right to you, even giving it, offering it to you in his hands. And if you ask this morning, but is there enough for me? Then we may say with the prodigal son who went back, "There is bread enough and to spare in my Father's house." There's plenty. That's how it is in the Lord Jesus. Bread enough and to spare. His bread in the wilderness is graciously promised, generously provided. Thirdly, it's gloriously prescribed. Gloriously prescribed. The Lord doesn't just give the manna. He also gives the directions for gathering this manna. He has prescriptions to give. That's what the Lord tells us in his word. If I can put it this way, he doesn't just give us the gospel. He also tells us in his word what to do with the gospel. Because we must not just hear the gospel, we must embrace the gospel and appropriate the Savior. Yes, he gives us prescriptions on what to do with this bread from heaven. First of all, we must gather it personally. We must gather it personally, verse 16. "Gather of it every man according to his eating." The Israelite had to go out of the tent himself and gather the manna. He couldn't content himself by saying, "Well, I know that others are gathering," while he was lazy and stayed in his tent. No, the Israelites could not leave it to others. There are things you cannot leave to others. I mean, okay, you can leave the construction and renovation of your house to others, maybe. You can leave the fixing of your car to others. You can leave the plumbing in your house to those who know what they're doing. But you can't leave faith and repentance to others to do for you. Others can't repent for you. Others can't believe for you. They will not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for you. Faith and repentance are personal things. You must believe personally. You must go on your knees personally. Your father will not do it for you, children. Your mother will not do it for you. Jesus says that in Mark 16, verse 16. He doesn't say, if you're in a group of people, he doesn't say, if you're surrounded by believers, you'll be saved. If you're part of the covenant, you'll be saved. No, he that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. That's how it is with the bread of heaven. We must feed on Christ ourselves. Are we doing that? Older ones, younger ones, boys and girls, young people, are we feeding on Christ? Are we gathering the manna? Or are we stepping on the manna? Are we taking him up into our souls, or are we pushing him aside? We must partake of him personally. We must eat very personally. Of course, the father, as the head of the house, had the responsibility to see to it that there was sufficient for his household, as the last words of verse 16 say, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. You see what God is asking of you and me, fathers and mothers? He's making sure that we don't just see that we have enough manna for ourselves, but we need to have bread for our children too. Isn't that the desire of the believer? You're not content to be feeding on Christ yourself. Yes, you need to, you want to, but you want others to feed on Christ too. You want others to taste his goodness too. And should a Hebrew father not take his son or daughter out of the tent and show them how to gather the manna themselves, what to gather, so that the children would learn to gather the manna for themselves? Do we do this, parents? Do we feed on Christ, the bread of life, ourselves? And do we bring our children under the word and say, come, let's gather spiritual food today, and let's eat the bread of life today? We must gather it and feed on it personally. That first of all. Secondly, we must gather it early. Must gather it early. When did the Hebrews have to gather it? Could they gather it whenever it suited them? Would that manna be there all day long? No, they must gather it early in the morning. Verse 21, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. That manna was there only early in the morning. So let the Hebrew people not put off the gathering and say to themselves, well, I've got a lot of other things to do. Let me save that for later. Let me put it off. For it may be if they put it off, then finally if they think of it, it's gone. There's a real danger that they start looking for the bread of heaven too late. Let them go at the time God has appointed, early in the morning. Early. Boys and girls, we must seek the Lord Jesus early in our lives. He loves them that love him and those that seek him early. Proverbs 8 verse 17 says, shall find him. Young people, boys and girls, you don't want to think that you have lots of time. and then realize it's too late. To partake of Christ, don't let your youth go by without seeking the Lord and satisfying your soul in Him. There will be a time, boys and girls, when it's too late. Seek Him early in your life. And seek Him early in your day, young people, boys and girls. Seek Him early. Let me put it this way. Seek Him first thing when you wake up in the morning. Turn to His Word from which you can receive heavenly manna, food for your soul. Feed on Christ in the morning. Israel had to do that before they went to do anything else. They had to gather the manna before the sun burned it up. Let's do the same. Early in the morning, let us seek the bread of heaven to have our souls fed first thing in the day. Else, before long, so many other things come to our mind, don't they? And we starve our souls. We must gather it personally. Secondly, we must gather it early. Thirdly, we must gather it daily. We must gather it daily. Verse 21 again. And they gathered it every morning. Yes, later on Moses will clarify that they were to rest on the Sabbath day. They were to gather twice as much on the sixth day, the day before, because the Lord wanted them to rest on the seventh day. And then you see that before the fourth commandment is given on Mount Sinai, the Lord is instructing His people already to rest. After all, the Sabbath was an invention in Exodus 20 at Sinai. The Sabbath was a creation ordinance. Do we remember the Sabbath to keep it holy? Is the Lord's day spent differently than the other days of the week? But let me come back to the point that I wanted to make. We must gather this heavenly bread daily. For 6 days of the week, they had to gather it every day. The Lord does not give them all the food they need for the next 40 years, all at the beginning. He doesn't give them food that they need for the week. Why not? He wants to see His people on their knees every day again. And He wants to give us fresh supplies for each day. Let us not think, well, it's Sunday today. I've been under the preaching of the Word of God on Sunday. Now I don't need to read my Bible for another week. Or now I don't need to read my Bible for another half a week. We must gather this heavenly bread daily. Do we? Daily, young people, go on our knees. Daily seek the Lord. Daily seek fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We must gather it daily. Yes, dear people of God, we can't just live off of the old manna. Israel could not leave the manna till the next day. It would be corrupt. It'd be full of worms and maggots and it stank. I know we sometimes wonder if there's enough grace for tomorrow. We're struggling, but the Lord has fresh manna to give every day. His mercies are new every morning. Are we maybe living off of manna gathered long ago? Living on experiences that were fresh at the time, but in the past, and those supplies have become stale, and you've stopped resorting to Him freshly in faith and seeking fresh supplies. But every day, friends, the bread of heaven, if I can put it this way, every day the bread of heaven is fresh from the bakery of heaven. Feed on Christ. personally, early, daily. Fourthly, we must gather sharingly. Sharingly, verse 17 and 18, and the children of Israel did so, gathered some more, some less, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. How much were the people of Israel to gather? Oh, well, one omer was the average for one person per day. One omer, that's an amount of about 2 liters, the amount of a big pop bottle. And those who were fit and strong could gather more, could give to those who were not so healthy and not so strong, or the elderly, or the not so healthy, so that there was no one among them who lacked. Paul will quote these words in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 15. Applying it to the Christians in Corinth, those who had lots, they could help those who had little, so that there would be no poverty in the camp. That's a good rule for the congregation to remember in material things, and also in spiritual things. If you have found the Lord to be gracious to you, why would you just keep that for yourself? Why would you not share it? I mean, Peter on the day of Pentecost doesn't keep the bread of life to himself. Proverbs 11 verse 25 says that the generous or the liberal soul shall be made fat. We must gather sharingly. And that's how the Lord would provide for his people till they reach the promised land. And that's how we need to stoop down and eat and drink of him who gives the bread of life and the water of life. And think for a moment, dear people of God, what has sustained you in your journey through the wilderness thus far? You look back, you wonder, how did I make it this far? Maybe you were afraid years ago or some time ago that you wouldn't make it far at all, but hitherto the Lord has led you, and hitherto the Lord has fed you. God was feeding you with the bread of life. God was enabling you to take another step in the way. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Why are you spending your money for that which isn't bread, and your labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Are you partaking of this bread of Christ by faith? Where are you gleaning? That was the question that Naomi asked Ruth. Are you feeding in the field of the greater than Boaz? Are you feeding on Christ? The story is told of a man who crossed the Atlantic Ocean on a ship. He was a frugal man. He bought his ticket. He saw that there was dinner offered on the ship, but he decided that it was not for him. He had brought some of his own food. Mind you, that food got stale and crusty, but he ate from his own supplies sparingly till the last day when he had no more food left. On the last day on the ocean liner, he goes to dinner and he orders food, and then someone says to him, "Your dinner was part of the ticket." It was already paid for. Why didn't you come sooner? Friends, the price has been paid. And you might be listening, but the Lord Jesus comes close to us. Are you eating from your own crusty supplies when he comes with his broken body and shed blood and says, "I have everything you need. I hungered and thirsted, hanging on the cross, longing for fellowship with my Father. But there was no food. There was no refreshing drink for me. I had to eat and drink the cup of bitterness so that you, who hunger and thirst might receive righteousness and enjoy fellowship with me, and I will feed you every step of the way. Feed on me, he says, till the day when you reach the promised land and you'll never hunger again. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good-doing, gracious Lord, how full of love thou art for lost sons and daughters of Adam who grumble so easily. Yet thou hast come to us with thy word and with the bread of life. Feed us with that, granting us crumbs from the Master's table as he distributes it and hands it out to poor and needy people still today, and grant that we may feed much on thy word. Also in these times, please give those who don't feed on thee a hunger for thee. Show them their desperate need, so that they turn to thee and say, give me Jesus or I die. And grant that we may feed on him every step of the way till we come to that land where there is overflowing supplies, a feast spread, a table, the supper of the Lamb. And that to his praise. Bless us on this Sabbath day. Give us a good day. And forgive all of our sins in preaching and in praying and in praising thee. Bless us under thy word this afternoon too. And apply thy word by thy Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.